Into the Light Ministries is proud to present Your Alarm Call with Reverend Ron Vernier. Now we ask you to sit back and open your mind and your spirit to what God has to say to you on Your Alarm Call.
Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, it's a Friday afternoon. It's a beautiful Friday. And I'm curious how many of you from yesterday remember the question that I left you with. Yesterday I left you with a question and I asked you to seek God. I asked you to seek God and I asked you to ask God one question, one only. I asked you to see if God was calling you to go out in the spirit of Elijah, to go out in a spirit of faith, and to go out and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, it is still yet day before it is night when no man can work. For surely the fields are white unto harvest, but there are very few workers that are willing to go out. They're more interested in sitting home and watching their TV games and the football games on Saturday and the races and whatever else may happen to be in season. They're interested in doing whatever, golf, anything but what Jesus called them to do. And yet, 85% of the people in the United States of America, anyway, claim to be Christian. They claim to be Christian. I use the word claim because if they really were Christian, if they really could hear the voice of God, if they really knew the lateness of the hour, they would be scared to death. And I don't see that. But what I do see is exactly what Jesus said it would be. He said it would be just like under the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. They would be marrying and giving in marriage and doing this and drinking and eating and going shopping and going to the parties and having a good time and not even realizing what time it was. And that's what I see when I look around outside, when I drive through these shopping malls and that, when I bring my wife downtown, that's what I'm seeing. You know, one of the things that always amazed me is when Jesus entered into Jerusalem. And here came all these people with the palm branches, and they were throwing down the palm branches before him and before the donkeys, you know. And they were screaming out, Hosanna in the highest, and Hallelujah, and all the rest of this, and screaming out to Jesus. And the word of the Lord said, Jesus rebuked them. But it amazed me when I read on, because Jesus did not rebuke them, because they were going to crucify him in a couple of days. He did not rebuke them because they were going to curse him and spit at him. He did not rebuke them because they were going to pull out his hair by the gobs. He did not rebuke them because they were going to rip out his beard by the handfuls. He did not rebuke them because they were going to whip him. He did not rebuke them because they were going to nail him to a cross and then drop that cross into a hole and hang him naked between heaven and earth. Yes, naked. He didn't have that little diaper on they show you in all the pictures. And they didn't need it anyway. Because as we shared a few days ago, the Word of God says you wouldn't even have recognized him as a human being. Stop and think about that. The Word of God doesn't exaggerate and it doesn't lie. You and I would have been standing there at the bottom of that cross. We'd have been looking up at Jesus, and we'd have said to one another, is that a human being up there? Or have they sacrificed an oxen or what? I can't quite make out what that is. Because the Bible said we wouldn't even be able to recognize him as a human being. You wouldn't even know him as a human being. But that is not what Jesus rebuked him for. Jesus, the Bible says, rebuked them for not discerning the time. For not discerning the time. If Jesus rebuked them then for not discerning the time, how much more is Jesus going to rebuke us when he comes now for not discerning the time? For everything that had to happen has already happened. Today I want to give you a short list of it. But everything that Jesus said would happen has already happened. It's all taken care of. It's all done. The party's over with. Take your shoes off, sit down, and wait. Or as the word of the Lord puts it, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. It's an amazing thing for you that have your Bibles, and we've already talked about the idiots that don't bring your Bible, so I'm not going to go into that today. But for you that have your Bibles, you that have learned at least that much this week, let's go to Matthew in chapter 22. Matthew in chapter 22. I said in the beginning of the week, if you listen to me, I don't care if you're mad or glad. But I do want you to learn something. I don't want you to be entertained. I want you to learn something about the Word of God. I want you to learn something about what it says. The word of the Lord said to study, to show thyself approved, one who needeth not be ashamed, who can rightly divide the word of God. And I know I've been going on a lot this week about faith, the right kind of faith, biblical faith, scriptural faith. Not send me $1,000 and Jesus will give you $10,000. That ain't going to happen. The only thing that's going to happen is I'm going to be $1,000 richer, you're going to be $1,000 poorer. Before we go into this, if you would just kind of keep your finger there or a marker of some kind on Matthew chapter 22, and I'd like you to go to the book of Jude. I want to show you just one quick thing in the book of Jude. Now, Jude is pretty easy. It's only one page. Now, the book of Jude, very short book, but it's very, very powerful. But you need to read the entire thing, and you need to understand what it is really saying. It says, Beloved, I pray that... Now, I'm sorry, I'm on John right now. I'll get to Jude eventually. Give me a moment here. Okay, Jude, I got it now. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to those who are called, beloved, in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. May mercy and peace and love be multiplied unto you. Beloved, while I was making every effort, and this is the verse I want you to hear. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity, we've shared this word necessity before, to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Now, we've covered most of those words before. I want to cover them for you, one word for you again, because we're going to use it today. that we contend earnestly for the first, for the faith. That we contend earnestly for the faith. I knew I could get it right if I said it enough times. Now, contend earnestly. That's what we translated. But that actually is a Greek military term. It is a military term. You can look it up in your Strong's or your concordances at home. But it is a military term meaning fight, hand-to-hand combat, fight to the death. Fight to the death with hand-to-hand combat. Now read it again in what it really says. I felt that I should write you earnestly to contend for that we ought to contend earnestly for the faith, that we ought to fight hand-to-hand combat with the enemy, if that's what it comes to, hand-to-hand combat until one of us is dead. That's strong language. That's not like somebody asking you to give a can of soup to somebody that's hungry, or a hat and a pair of mittens to someone who's cold. But let us stand and fight to the death on hand-to-hand combat concerning this faith. Now, I doubt that any of you have got to the point that you have even drawn blood to contend for your faith, much less got to the place where it was hand-to-hand combat unto death. But this is what God requires. This is what God requires of us. That's not a request. That's a command. I can show it to you again and again and again. This is what God requires of us. We are to do something. Nowhere does it say you are to warm the pews. Stick your heavy set little butt in the pew there someplace and keep it warm. No, it doesn't say that. We're supposed to do something. Now, if we may, let us go back to Matthew chapter 22, beginning at verse 1. And this is the parable of the wedding banquet. Most of you have heard it. Now you get to hear it again. And Jesus answered, and he spoke unto them again in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared unto a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. So he sent out his slaves to call out those who had been invited to the wedding feast, but they were unwilling to come. Again, he sent out other slaves, telling them, tell those who have been invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fattened livestock, they're all butchered. Everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. Now, just in case you don't know, some of you are really slow. You haven't got this far in your local church yet. Who we're talking about here is the church. That's the ones that have been invited. Now, Jesus has sent the men and women of God, those real men and women of God, to the church to tell them it's the last time. It's time to get your act together. Time to get right with God. It's time. Jesus is about ready to come and get us. And I would love if we had time to go into the marriage, the Jewish marriage, and how it went and what happened when the bridegroom came. But we don't have time for that today. But in verse 5, they paid no attention to him either. They went on their way, one to his own farm and another to his business. And the rest seized his slaves, they mistreated them, and they killed them. Let me translate that to you in today's language, if I may. And I think it's fairly correct. He sent out other slaves, telling them, you know, maybe they didn't hear, maybe they didn't understand. I'll give them a revelation. Tell them, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fat and livestock. Everything is butchered. Everything is ready. Come now to the wedding feast. But they paid no attention. They paid no attention to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They paid no attention to God when he spoke within their church with his name on it. They paid no attention. I want to tell you why they paid no attention. Because they had the roast in the oven, which was automatically set for 2 hours. And you got to get home and take care of the roast quickly before the Rams come on to play with the Vikings or whoever they had on schedule that week. And they got all these other things to do. And some of those slaves loved their master so much they got angry. And they said, don't you understand? God himself is calling you. God himself sent me. I wouldn't have come this far. I don't like this bunch of people anyway. God sent me to tell you to come to him, to get alone in your prayer closet. And they destroyed him. You know, the Bible says if you hate somebody, it's the same as murder. You murmur against them in hatred, it's the same as murder. And I believe that's what it's talking about here when it says they murdered him. They paid no attention. They went their way, one to their farm and one to his business. I got to milk the cows. I got things to take care of. I got a business to run. Remember yesterday we talked about the car payments, getting Judy to college, getting Alexander to college? We got all these other things to take care of. We got all these payments to make. And the wife wants to buy that fancy little tea set, which we got to get. We got time to be talking to Jesus and getting ready for him. In verse 8, then he said to his slaves, the wedding is ready. But those who were invited were not worthy. This should make you sit down and cry, but it don't. You're sitting there in your living room, you're driving in your car, whatever it is you're doing, but I guarantee you it has not brought you to tears. It has not brought you to tears that the people of God were not worthy. The people of God were not worthy. The first few times I read that, it brought me to tears. Jesus, you mean your people? Jesus, do you mean those people that I just left in that church? Jesus, those people who were singing all those praise songs unto you? Jesus, even that pastor who gave that sermon about you for 10 minutes, because it took him 15 minutes to talk about the offering. But even he didn't have time. And they got this class on Tuesday night on how to know the Holy Spirit, on how to know Jesus better. And they didn't have time. They were unworthy. What are they learning in this class? Why do they bother singing to you? What are we saying? Worthy art thou, O Lord? Worthy for what? We ain't coming when you call. What exactly is he worthy for? I'll tell you what he's worthy for. God, I got a need, I got a need, I got a need, I got to have this and I got to have that. Got to have some money. Oh, have somebody pray over the offering. We got a need. The blacktop parking lot isn't finished yet. We got a need. But God, who cannot lie, who does not lie, said they were not worthy. Jesus said in verse 9, go ye therefore unto the highways. As many as you can find there, invite them to the wedding feast. Now some have it, go thee therefore to the highways and the byways, and invite both the good and the evil. It's correct both ways. And that used to make me curious at first. Lord, why would you want to invite the good and the evil? And that bothered me for quite a while. And then one day the Lord spoke to me about it, and he showed me the thief that was on the cross as Jesus hung on the cross. And the thief turned to Jesus and he said, Lord, forgive me not when you come into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, this day shalt thou be in paradise with me. The Catholics got it wrong. He did not say purgatory. He said paradise. This day shall thee be in paradise. Jesus didn't go to purgatory, and neither did the other guy, and neither did anybody else, because there ain't no such place. Anyway, be that as it may, invite them to the wedding feast. And then those slaves went out again into the streets, and they gathered together all that they found, both evil and good. And the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. You remember when I gave you my testimony? I said I was evil. I was not stupid. When somebody told me there was a way out, when somebody told me that Jesus would set me free, when somebody told me there was a way to get out from under the debt, from under the addiction, from under the problems, from under the misery, from under the trouble, I took it. I had nothing to lose. They said, anybody that's willing, all they got to do is step up here and pray, and we'll pray with you. Like I said, I was evil. I wasn't stupid. If there's a way, I'll try it. And I went up and knelt down. I said, Jesus, if you're out there, if, I didn't even know for sure if he was there, just in case, if you're out there, and if you're everything this guy says you are, if you will come into my life, if you will set me free, if you will deliver me from the drugs, if you will get rid of all the warrants and wants and arrests, if you will get me $85,000 out of debt, if you will clear up all of my problems, from this night on, I will serve you. I will go wherever you tell me to go. I'll say whatever you tell me to say. I'll say it to whoever you tell me to say it to. That was over 30 years ago. And I think I've been just about every place in the world. And God has had me to say a great deal to a great many people. Some have received it, some haven't. But I have never, ever had a need. I've shared before, back in those days, I was young. I did not know that you didn't make deals with Jesus. So I said to the Lord Jesus, I'll go. I'll do anything. Except one. I will not beg for money, and I won't ask for it. If you can't pay my wages, I don't want to work for you. Like I say, that was over 30 years ago. We have never taken an offering. We have never asked for money. And we have never had a need. I have lost track of how many times we have been around the world. My son, at 7 years old, had enough mileage on American Airlines for a free pass, a free airline pass around the world. He had traveled that many miles. I have given away more cars than most people will ever own. Not because I sent somebody $850 and bought their set of tapes. Not because I bought some fool's book. But because I believe in God. I believe it. When the Lord said, I am the Lord thy God that supplieth all of thy need. I believe it. When Jesus said, seek ye the expansion, the kingdom of God, and all these things will be given unto you. I believed it. And guess what? It works. God is truthful. If you but ask him, he'll do it. But you have to do the prerequisite. You have to live a holy life. You have to live a life of constant repentance. You have to live a righteous life before God.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and we ask you to tune in again next time to The Alarm Call. Remember, if you would like to contact us for prayer requests, or if you just need someone to talk to, you can reach us on the World Wide Web at www.intothelight.org. You can also send us traditional mail at Post Office Box 1523 in Hollister, Missouri, 65673. Please have a wonderful day, and may God be with you in all that you do.